This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It can't get any closer.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Vice President Dick Cheney shortened his trip to the Middle East for this. The Senate's vote today on nearly $40 billion in spending cuts. Lawmakers think the tally could be 50-50, and Cheney would be called on to break the tie. The measure barely passed the House Monday. It trims dozens of domestic programs from student loans to health care for the poor. Another close vote is expected on a Pentagon spending bill, but it has nothing to do with fighter jets or military pay. It's all about oil drilling in Alaska. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Polling shows Americans are growing more favorable to the idea of tapping the oil in Alaska's National Wildlife Refuge. That state's Republican Senator Ted Stevens is close to realizing his 25-year-old goal of opening ANWR to drilling. While some senators question whether ANWR is relevant to the defense budget, Stevens says it's a matter of national security.
Of the 10 suppliers of petroleum to defense, 7 are foreign countries. 20% of the petroleum that the DOD purchased comes from the Middle East countries that embargoed our oil in the past.
Many Democrats and some Republicans are threatening to filibuster the bill over the oil drilling issue. To lure votes, Senator Stevens has added a long list of sweeteners, including aid for Hurricane Katrina victims and low-income home heating assistance. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
In New York today, it's going to be another frigid rush hour. That transit strike is still on, and it's costing everybody time and money. A judge is fining the union $1 million a day because the strike's illegal. Stores are losing millions of dollars in business at their biggest time of the year. But there are some people in New York who might profit from this. Here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
Faced with the prospect of long waits and big traffic jams, many commuters are choosing to walk to work. That means more foot traffic in the city and more people who need to stop in and get warm. At the Tramway Diner on the Manhattan side of the Queensboro Bridge, this waitress says business is definitely up.
Yes, it's more than usual. It's crazy.
She guesses about half their customers right now are strike-related. New York's deputy comptroller, Marcia Van Wagner, says a few other businesses may profit as well.
Some, you know, emergency-related retail sales, sneakers, bicycle shops, that sort of thing.
Van Wagner guesses the city's commercial districts will generally suffer, but she thinks businesses in residential neighborhoods may benefit from more people. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
New Yorkers do have something to be thankful for. Ex-Red Sox players. The Yankees have signed former Boston center fielder Johnny Damon to a 4-year, $52 million contract. It's certainly not a pay cut, but Damon will have to get his signature long hair and beard trimmed to play for George Steinbrenner. Johnny Damon, a Yankee? I'm speechless. GM stock fell to a 23-year low, and the Dow fell for a fourth straight day, 30 points to 10,805. The S&P 500 fell a third of a point to 1259. The NASDAQ also lost a third to 2222. Oil's back up today above $58 a barrel. The dollar lost value against the yen. This is Marketplace. This week, the head of Italy's National Bank resigned. Antonio Fazio faced a criminal probe into questionable takeovers. As Megan Williams reports, the country's moving swiftly to make big changes.
Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and his cabinet have approved a move to curb the power of the new central banker and to place a 6-year term limit on the position, which until now was for life. The Italian central bank will also no longer be the sole antitrust regulator of banking competition. Professor James Walston at the American University in Rome says the measures are needed to restore trust in an institution whose once golden reputation was virtually ruined by Antonio Fazio.
It's very unfortunate because the Bank of Italy was one of the few major institutions in this country which had an excellent reputation.
Italy's parliament is expected to vote the new measures into law in the next few days. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace,
which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. And by Network Solutions, helping individuals and businesses of all sizes grow on the web with hosting, design, domains, and online marketing solutions. NetworkSolutions.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Revelations in recent days that President Bush has authorized domestic spying since 9/11 has created an uproar in Congress. In this edition of The Public's Business, commentator Robert Reich says it should create another one in the American business community.
Even in its infancy, modern capitalism depended on liberty and predictability, and business leaders fought for the rule of law. The very idea that a head of state must be bound by law emerged from the struggles of the 17th and 18th centuries between monarchs who claimed to have divine right to do as they pleased and a rising class of European merchants who said rulers could do only what they were authorized to do. These business leaders understood that economic liberties could not be separated from civil liberties. If a king or emperor could arrest or detain or search or torture anyone for whatever reason, there was nothing to stop him from taking private property, interfering in private contracts, commandeering private resources. And now we have a president who asserts the power to spy on Americans without the approval of a court, even though a law enacted more than a quarter century ago prohibits this practice, to secretly monitor the actions of private, environmental, and peace groups, and to call any American an enemy combatant and keep him in jail without counsel for as long as he wishes. This is the same administration that flouts international law by detaining foreigners indefinitely, holding some in secret prisons, and using torture. It's the same administration that pays off journalists here and abroad to write favorable stories about it, also in defiance of law. The president says all this comes under his responsibility as commander-in-chief during wartime. But if the end of keeping Americans secure justifies all means, including disregarding the rule of law, then no one is secure and all liberties are threatened. I mean, how far away is the specter of no-bid government contracts to politically well-connected suppliers that support the president? Of selective prosecution of antitrust laws or health and safety regulations, depending on support for the president's agenda? Of pressure on the media to provide favorable coverage in return for regulatory favors? When a president or a king is unaccountable to law, it's impossible to predict where or how he will act in pursuit of his aims. The perils for American business stretch beyond our shores. When we're viewed less as a beacon of law and democracy than as an unlawful bully, it's harder to assert world economic leadership. The so-called Washington Consensus of the 1990s, embracing free trade, free capital flows, and responsible fiscal policies, is unraveling. The Doha Round is practically ground to a halt. We're getting nowhere on international agreements over taxes and securities. Economic freedom and civil liberty, the two are inseparable, and both are threatened by arbitrary power that sees itself above the law. As they did centuries ago, business leaders must come to the defense of liberty.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is now a professor at Brandeis University. He'll be back in a couple weeks with another edition of The Public's Business. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
You've heard of regifting?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.